few months, I've been doing a series on learning Jesus, and one of the paths that's taken us down is seeing how central it was to Jesus to be telling others and presenting and proclaiming about the kingdom of God and what that means for them and calling them to respond to that. And that kind of led us down into the apostles and the early church and then into our own lives. And I wanted to keep kind of helping us in that area. So I decided to call on people who actually live that way, even more than, definitely more than I do. So this morning I've asked my wife Donna to share with us what it means to live as a follower of Jesus among our neighbors, because she's way better than that than I am. Anything I do, it's just because I'm following her. So welcome Donna this morning.
Okay, so Mr. Rogers was going to introduce our topic today, which is loving our neighbor. And I'd like to share with you just a few scriptures about loving our neighbors. And I hope to inspire and encourage you to get to know your neighbors, because I believe loving your neighbors, literally the people next door to you, is important to God. So as I reflected on neighbors this week, as I was preparing, I thought back to when I was a kid in Detroit. And it was a different time and a different era. But we used to hang out front in the summer, out on our front porch. And we didn't have air conditioning. And so sometimes I think it was just because it was cooler outside than it was inside. But we hung out on the porch. And everybody did. I mean, everybody in the neighborhood was out and hanging out there and playing. We only had one car. And so my dad had to take that to go to work. And so we had to walk everywhere. Thus, we got to know all of our neighbors. And to this day, I could tell you the name of every single person that lived on the block with me. That's just because we were out there all the time and we knew who our neighbors was. Okay, fast forward 50 years. Here I am living in Houston. And we hang out in our 8-foot fenced backyard and we enjoy our privacy. You hardly ever see your neighbors, especially here in the summer when it's so hot, nobody wants to be outside. And so maybe this sounds like some of your, one of my neighbors actually comes home at 5 o'clock. If I happen to be in my front window, I can see him. He comes home at 5 o'clock, pulls up in his driveway, uses the garage door opener, pulls into the garage, closes the garage door, never to be seen again. So that may sound like some of your neighbors, or it may sound like you. It doesn't sound like me because I can't get my car in the garage. I have too much stuff in the garage. So it's definitely not me. But honestly, we probably don't think about our neighbors unless there's a problem, like dogs barking incessantly, or they just don't think it's important to pull their trash can back up to the house after the trash has been picked up. Or maybe they don't cut their grass in what we would consider the most appropriate time. So for most of us, our model would be the less we see and hear from our neighbors, the better. Okay, well, that does present a dilemma for us. Because as followers of Jesus, the Bible tells us that loving our neighbors is right up there with loving God. Do you believe that? Let's stop and pray and ask the Lord to speak to us today. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the Bible, and we thank you that it speaks to the practical things of our lives. And Holy Spirit, we just ask now that you would come and you would help our hearts and our minds to be open to what you are saying to us. Lord, I pray specifically that you would speak to each heart that is here today. Amen. Okay, so let's look at a few scriptures that have impacted my thinking about my neighbors. First is Matthew 22, 35 to 40. And here Jesus is having a dialogue with some Pharisees. And the scripture says, one of them, a Pharisee, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. You know, in this passage of scripture, the Pharisees were testing Jesus, actually hoping to catch him in some kind of heresy. So Jesus' response was very carefully crafted. Jesus says, love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And the second is just like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. That means loving our neighbors is right up there with loving God. You know, another scripture that I think about when I think about my neighbors and the people that are around me is one that all of you, I'm sure, could just say with me right now. You don't have to, but I'm going to say John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. What stands out to me in that most familiar verse is God so loved. You know, I really understand so loving because I'm a mom, I'm a grandmom, and I can remember when Jean-Marc was probably about one or two, we used to play a little game with him, and I would say, Jean-Marc, do you know how much I love you? And he'd kind of look at me, and I'd go, this much, or so much, and I'd put my arms out wide like that. And I do that even today sometimes with Selah or Judah. I'll say, do you know I love you so much? So today, I want to make sure that you guys stay engaged with us and with me. And so what I want you to do is I want you to turn to your neighbor. And you have to say it like this. You can't just say, God loves you. What do I want you to say? I want you to say, God loves you so much. Okay? Well, if you want to use the hands, you can. But you don't have to, but you do have to go so much, okay? So I want you to just turn to your neighbor and say, God loves you so much. That is great. I love you guys. That is wonderful. Okay, and another scripture that has meant a lot to me in this regards is 2 Peter 3:9, and it says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. And, you know, I think about that, and I think, wow, you know, we can live some lives that are not very honoring or worthy of God, and make all kinds of mistakes. But God's love for us is so great that he continues to pursue us. That's how important we are to God. One of my favorite quotes has been from Bill Hybels, who says, and this has become kind of a motto for my life, and this is Bill's quote. It says, you never lock eyes with anyone who isn't important to God. You never lock eyes with anyone who isn't important to God. Well, you guys did such a great job a minute ago with your neighbor. I think we should do it with our other neighbor now, okay? So this may be a little uncomfortable for some of you, especially if you don't know the person on the other side of you. But I think, you know, God could really use these few little words this morning. So I want you to turn to your other neighbor now, and I want you to look them in the eye, and I want you to say to them, you are important to God. Right now. Okay, we're not visiting, we're just saying you are important to God. Well, it's true. You are important to God. You are important to God. You are important to God. I am important to God. My neighbor is important to God. Your neighbor is important to God. So, what do I do? How do I love my neighbors? Well, I do all the normal stuff, probably that everybody does, but I do it with an awareness that each day I have an opportunity to influence someone for Christ, either by the way I talk or act or serve. You know, my understanding is that Christ lives in me through his Holy Spirit. So wherever I go, whatever conversation I happen to get into, Christ is there. God is there with me. So back to what do? Well, I do kind of some insignificant things, and some of you may need to contextualize this for your neighborhood, depending on who lives in your neighborhood. But I do things like pulling the trash cans up to their house for them. I go out and pull my trash can up from the street to my garage, and if their trash can is still out, sometimes I'll go ahead and pull their trash can up to their house. Well, a few of my neighbors are elderly, so that really makes, you know, sense for me to do that for them. Another thing that I do is sometimes when I'm walking in the neighborhood, I throw their neighborhood paper. You know how we get the neighborhood paper, and lots of times it sits out on the sidewalk for days and no one reads it. But anyways, I throw the neighborhood paper up to the door so my elderly neighbors don't have to come out to get the paper. Okay, so another thing that I do, and I told you these were like insignificant little things, but another thing that I like to do, and I would normally do anyways, is bake. I like to bake. I'm not a gourmet baker by any means. You know, Betty Crocker brownie mix out of the box is fine for me. but anyhow, I like to bake, and especially at Thanksgiving and Christmas, I almost always bake for all of my neighbors. And I put a little bow and a little card, and I just take it over to them. Just a small way of saying, you know you're there, and I care. One of my favorite holidays, though, to do something for my neighbors is Valentine's Day, because a lot of them are widowed, and so I wait for the Lent chocolate truffle bar, I think it is, to go on sale at Walgreens, and then I go buy like 10 of them and put a little bow and a card and give that to them for Valentine's Day. Another way that I love my neighbor in practical way is they need to take their car to the mechanic, but they need someone to drop them off and take them back to get their car. I do that. And the last one I just want to mention, of course, I'm sure you can have your own list of things that you do to love your neighbor, but I attend the Civic Club meeting once a month. At least I try to. Because I think it shows that there's a sense that I value those people by going to that meeting. And it also gives me an opportunity to meet some of the people in the neighborhood. So all these types of serving and kindnesses build bridges between us and our neighbors, creating goodwill and building trust between us. You know, I have no idea where people are in their spiritual journey, and I have no clue at the time that I'm having a conversation or I'm serving them, whether I'm planting seeds or watering seeds for the kingdom. But I know that being a good neighbor creates a context for the influence of Christ. Okay, for some of you, you know, this participation thing, it's just going to keep going and keep going. But anyways, for some of you who may not even know your neighbors, I have a great idea. Okay, I have a great idea. Get ready. I want you to mark your calendar for October the 1st. It's National Neighbors Night Out here in Houston. I think National Neighbors Night Out is actually in August everywhere else in the country, but here it is in October because they know people don't really come out much until then. Anyways, mark your calendars for October the 1st. And all you have to do is put a card table, some brownies, and lemonade out in your driveway and put out a few lawn chairs, and your neighbors will come and you hang out and get to know somebody maybe that you don't know, or just visit with them. It's that easy. So I think it would be awesome if we had 50 households in the church hosting the National Neighbors Night Out. Wouldn't that be awesome? Mm-hmm. Okay, so think about it and mark your calendars. So what happens when we intentionally begin to love our neighbors? You know, it's a process. And over time, people who were strangers become acquaintances. And some may even become friends. This thing about strangers becoming acquaintances, I just want to show you how easy that is. Wednesday night this last week, I was out taking a walk in the neighborhood and praying and thinking about what I was going to be sharing this morning. And it was a Wednesday evening, so people were putting their trash cans out at the street for pickup tomorrow. And as I was walking past a house, I didn't know the lady. It was on my block, the end house on my block. And an elderly lady was bringing her trash can out. And I had noticed that there was a few big limbs down in her yard a few days earlier. And so when she brought her trash can to the street where I was walking, I just said, "Oh, hi, I see you got your tree cut down." And she said, "Yeah." I said, "Oh, it died because of the drought?" And she said, "No, actually, lightning hit the tree. And so I had to have it taken down." And so I said, "Oh, that's really too bad." And then I said, "Oh, by the way, my name is Donna, and I live up here at 5207. And she said, "Oh, well, hi, I'm Valerie, and I've actually lived here for 53 years. And I've been a widow for 14 years. And so we just started chatting. Valerie no longer is a stranger to me, but an acquaintance." That's how easy it is. So you begin to move from strangers to acquaintances, and some may even become your friends. I'm definitely friends with my neighbor across the street. I check on her if I haven't seen her in a few days. Or if we go out of town, she gets our mail, I get her mail, you know, those kinds of things. Another thing that happens when we intentionally love our neighbors is that people begin to invite you into their lives. They begin to share with you things like one of my neighbors had some remodeling done. And so I was out one day in my yard and she said, hey, I got some remodeling done. Would you come on in the house? I'd like to show you what they did. Of course. And so I went into her house and was able to rejoice with her in the remodeling that was done. Another thing that happened as far as people inviting you into their lives, it was after Thanksgiving, and I was outside, and I saw a neighbor across the street and walked across the street to say hi. This is the neighbor that you hardly ever see. And he started sharing with me about how excited he was about this last Thanksgiving because one of his kids had come to the house for the holiday. And as he's sharing, he's telling me that, you know, basically he's been estranged from his kids for many years. And so that this was very exciting that one of them had come. And so they do begin to invite you into their lives and share things that are going on with them. And sometimes we find that when our neighbors are in trouble or a crisis comes, when we've been intentionally building bridges with them and loving them, when the crisis or trouble comes, they seek you out, which then opens the door for you to share about the hope and help that we found in Christ and maybe even pray with them. And a couple examples of that, I had a lady across the street one day come over and knock on my door, and it's her mom and her that live in the house. Her mom is elderly. And she knocked on the door. I went to the door and said, "Hi, what's up?" And she said, "Well, I wondered if you'd come over and talk with my mom. She's kind of hallucinating. I don't know if it's medicine or what's going on, but she's seeing things that aren't really there. And she's getting angry with me because I keep telling her that it's not what she's seeing. So would you come over and talk with her?" And so I said, "Sure, let me get my shoes." And I went across the street and went back into the bedroom and had a little conversation with her. And she definitely was seeing things. And but she could hear it from me a little better than she could hear it from her daughter, that those things weren't really there. And so it happened to be a Saturday, I remember, because she is Catholic. And it was like late afternoon. And so I said something to her about going to Mass, if she was going to be going to Mass today. And she said no. And I said, "Well, maybe we could just pray the Our Father together." And so I was going to pray the Lord's Prayer with her. And so I had opportunity to do that. And she calmed down, and she did have to have some medical help. But anyways, it was an opportunity for me to be there when they needed some help. Now, the other example I have is very sad and tragic, actually. But one of my neighbors one day called me on the phone and just kind of excitedly said, "Donna, can you come over?" And so I said, "Sure, I'll be right there." And so I went over, and as I went out my front door, I noticed there was a police car in front of her house. And so I went in and said, "What is going on? What happened?" And she said, "Well, I'd been out, and I came back, and I found my husband dead in the back room." And so, of course, here I am, you know, I'm in as much shock as she is. But what happened was the police had come, they needed to make a report, but she had to wait for the coroner to come and pick up the body, and she didn't want to wait by herself. And her kids live in Austin, and so they couldn't get there, etc. And so I was able to be with her, to comfort her, to pray with her. And those things happen as you build relationships over time, and you build trust with people. And then they invite you into their lives and sometimes share some of the hard stuff that's going on. So neighboring is not always easy, but it's powerful and significant. Okay, one more audience participation. In your bulletin, I didn't bring my bulletin up here, but in your bulletin, you're going to find let me see that. Thank you, Mr. Palandro, for being my assistant. Here, you're going to pull this out, and I want all of you to get a pen or pencil out. This is kind of like a little exercise or a pop quiz. Everybody get that out. And as you're getting out your pencils and this little paper, it's called The Art of Neighboring. The house in the middle of the page is your house. Everybody see your house? I think there was a song about my house or something, wasn't there? Anyways, here's your house in the middle. And all these houses around here are your neighbor's houses. Okay? So, everybody ready? Okay, in the top portion of each of these little houses around your house, the top portion, I want you to write your neighbor's first and last name. And you know what? You've got 1 minute to do it. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether you live in an apartment or a house. If you're married or single, you all have neighbors, right? Okay, so in the middle portion, now in the middle of the block there of each of these houses, I want you to write something, some relevant information you know about them. Maybe you know they're married. Maybe you know they're widowed. Maybe you know they have 2 kids. Maybe you know they have a minivan. Something you know relevant about them. Are you ready? Go. Okay. Now, one last time. One last thing. At the bottom of the box for each of these houses, I want you to write something that you know, some info that you know that may be significant to them. Like maybe they've wanted to have kids and they haven't been able to, but they're hoping to. Or maybe they're going to change their career path, and they've been talking to you a little bit about that. Or maybe it's some kind of a spiritual, you know, kind of where they're at spiritually, or something like that. Some more significant something that you know about them. This is your last chance. Go. Okay. You guys are great sports. Thanks for making this fun today. You know, this exercise is not meant to shame you or guilt you in any way. It really is just an exercise to increase your awareness of the people that God has placed around you. Do you know that statistically, only 10% of you probably in this room could have filled in all 8 of those boxes for the first level? Only 10% of you. And what is it, less than? You know, 3% of you could have done the middle portion, something relevant in all of those boxes. Only 3% of you. And less than 1% of you could have done all 3 for all of your neighbors. I mean, that's just statistically the way it is. So, maybe loving our neighbors begins with knowing their names. You know, I find it kind of hard to love someone that I don't know their name. So this is a good starting point and a first step towards fulfilling what Jesus calls the second greatest commandment. You know, I hope the other thing that this exercise helps us to do, besides just being aware of who the people are that God has placed around us, is that it will encourage us to be praying for God to help us love our neighbors as we get to know them. And for God, you know, maybe God needs to change our hearts. Maybe we have some bad attitudes towards our neighbors, and so we need to ask for forgiveness. Today, on your way out, you're going to find a smaller version of this. Oh, there's my assistant again. They're so helpful. Give him a hand. you're going to find one of these out in the foyer on a table. And what I want you to do is take this home and put it on your refrigerator. There's a little magnet on the back. And even if you only leave it up for like 30 days, this will be a reminder to you of who God has placed, or to be aware of who God has placed beside you, your neighbor, and about the great commandment to love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. So be sure to pick one of these up on your way out. Okay, our time is up this morning, but I'm sure that in this crowd here, there's probably at least one person who is still on the first part of the Great Commandment. You're still trying to figure out, how do I love God? And how do I, you know, even receive God's love? So I want you to feel free this morning to come and talk about that. We're going to have some people up front here that are here to pray with people or talk with people. And so if you have not, or you don't really understand, or have not experienced the love of God for yourself, and you want to do that today, I want to encourage you to come on up and just talk to someone about that. And then for others of us, we have been working on the first part of the commandment. We have been trying to understand and learn and live to love God, but we've pretty much ignored the second part of the commandment. And maybe today you feel like you need someone to pray with you about that and to encourage you about that. And so I would encourage you to come. So would our prayer teams come forward this morning? Prayer team? And I would just like to bless you today as you go. So I bless you in the name of Jesus with hearts that love not only God, but love your neighbors. I bless you with hearts that are moved with compassion, that whenever you lock eyes with anybody, you will be reminded that they are important to God. whether it's in the restaurant, whether it's at school, whether it's at the playground or the swimming pool. Yes, Lord, bless them as they go and fill them with your Spirit. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, amen.